Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Oh, God.
Well, how was your weekend? Mine was quite mad. Thank you very much. It was Yapfest. Not my idea. Anxious to stress that. And wouldn't have been my title if it was. But nevertheless, it was great. Turned out it wasn't a cult. Well, it kind of was a cult, but I guess cult members never think they're a member of a cult, do they? Anyway, it was really fun. We were in a house for a weekend and we did podcasts and there was a lot of cake. That's all you need to know. All right. That slightly implies there's something more exciting. There wasn't. Anyway, let's meet our very special Monday morning guest. Let's remember to play his jingle.
Every day the papers pump out endless streams of hate. The fifth column's propaganda they will propagate. But who can penetrate the ramparts of the fourth estate? Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy. Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy.
Hey! There he is. Is he there? No, you're not there. Oh, God damn. Hang on a second. Let me just make the... Hang on a second. I bet you're here. Are you here?
Yes.
Yeah, you're there. That's where you are. I knew you were somewhere. Gotcha. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now I've sorted out the audio, let's sort out the picture, and we are flying. This is definitely working. Hi there.
Hello.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was all right. It was pretty good.
Did you join a cult?
No cults as yet.
No. Well,
what did I don't even remember what I did do this weekend. Something good.
It's brilliant, isn't it? How obligingly the mind will just...
It was fine. It was nice.
It was good and nice. Those are very good describing words, and I
think was cake.
Go into writing.
Yes. I use all my describing words in the writing, and then that's it. They're gone out of my mind until 5 a.m. the next morning.
In my head, I still go adjective, describing word. You don't do that.
We all do.
We
all do that.
Do we, though?
In a way, I think so, yeah.
I'd like to think so.
Noun. Naming word, proper noun, common noun.
We were only allowed common nouns in my school.
Right, yeah.
Chips, that sort of thing. Wham bars. So, I bet you've got...
I love a wham bar. I do love a wham
come
bar.
Come on, it's the best. I bet you got some describing words for these new proposed measures.
Yeah, some of which you've told me previously I'm not allowed to use on this stream. So, yeah. Can we get through an episode without me accidentally swearing?
It's always fun.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
It's like a sort of roulette for me. So this is Priti Patel, who is just... She's almost too nice, you know?
She is. She's a shining example of kindness and dignity to other humans.
Is proposing some measures to do with journalism. Can you outline those?
It's basically adjustments or changes to the current rules around whistleblowing. Basically, effectively removing any kind of public interest defense, and many pieces of journalism, famous pieces of journalism, would not be possible if there was not a public interest defense for publishing, say, information covered by the Official Secrets Act, which when the Official Secrets Act first was around was a fairly narrowly defined piece of legislation. But now huge numbers of, you know, thousands upon thousands of people have signed the Official Secrets Act and are still bound by the Official Secrets Act. So it's quite easy to fall foul of it if you're a journalist brought information by someone that, you know, has a clear public interest. For instance, Secretary of State for Health is breaking his own own rules on social distancing, for instance, within the ministry, or corruption or whatever. Like, there are many things that are covered that people are technically not allowed to reveal, but currently would be covered by a public interest defense. And what they want to do is hack away at that, make it substantially harder.
Yeah.
To use that defense, in fact, near enough impossible, which would, you know, have an enormously chilling effect on journalism.
I mean, Boris Johnson, I would have thought, you know, he himself is a journalist, Mick, right? This is just trolling now. I'm literally just trolling
and that's
now.
And that's called a setup. well, yes. Over the weekend, in the Mail on Sunday, the former editor-in-chief of The Guardian, Alan Rushbridge, wrote a piece where he talked about, it's shocking that Boris Johnson, a journalist himself, would put in place laws that could criminalise journalism. And my issue there is, all due respect to Alan Rushbridge, but he's making a category error. Boris Johnson's never been a journalist, because the requirement in doing journalism, and I have, you know, produced a fair amount of journalism in the past, is that it has some relationship to the world as it actually exists, rather than being a presentation of the world that Boris Johnson wishes to exist. Boris Johnson's only ever been a propagandist. For instance, when he was the Brussels correspondent for the Daily Telegraph in the late 90s, he regularly pushed out stories that were completely distorted or outright deceptions. The obvious ones that I always bring up are, he is the person who created the myth that the EU was trying to ban bendy bananas.
Yeah.
He was also the person that put out the lie that the EU were planning one-size-fits-all euro coffins. And the famous and the best one of all, he claimed that the European Commission was insisting on smaller minimum condom sizes because of Italian concerns, i.e. the implication that Italian men had smaller penises, when in fact this was a very dull piece of European legislation and conversation around, should we ensure that condoms fit better to reduce the risk of AIDS? Yeah. But of course, that's not what was reported by Boris Johnson.
Well, I'd like to call it journalist. Well, let's call, you know, it's fact riffing. He's riffing, Mick.
He produced what would have had to be described if it were, you know, some, like, you come across occasionally things described as wine style drink.
Right? Yeah,
because it doesn't contain enough grapes.
My favorite drink that I had when I was a student in Manchester was from Aldi, which then was very little known, and it was called Bonora, and it was like drinking molten lead. And I memorized the sort of EU wording that they'd had to use to sort of circumnavigate all of the legislation about, you know, whether this is wine or whatever. It was pretty elaborate. It was a peach and orange flavored, aromatized wine product cocktail.
Yeah, well, in the case of what Boris Johnson produced, which some people call journalism, you would probably call it fact flavored mendacity rather than journalism. Like, there's very little journalism there, you know, way below the percentage required by the European Union, if it were to have such regulations. Anyway, in today's newsletter, I once again go over the very familiar ground of all the times that Boris Johnson has lied, and all the times he lied as a journalist, including, you know, the famous time when he, while still editor of The Spectator and the Tories' shadow arts spokesman, told the then leader of the Conservative Party, something of the night about him, Michael Howard, that there was absolutely no truth in the claims that he'd been having a long-running affair with his spectator subordinate Petronella Wyatt, herself daughter of a former Conservative minister. And he called the claims an inverted pyramid of piffle, but then it turned out that they were actually a correctly orientated stack of facts, and he was fired. And he continues, and he continued onwards.
So what do you think is going to happen with this?
It'll go through because the Seriously. Tories have a stonking majority, and we only have an opposition flavored opposition. It's a problem. I think also the problem that people on the left and on the centre left aren't happy to accept really is, when you look at Keir Starmer, is a man of the establishment himself. He's a former director of public prosecutions who pushed through prosecutions of people for stealing bottles of water, and pushed for them to face the full force of the law. So you're not talking about a man here who people always say, oh, well, he was a human rights lawyer, but you've got the mainstream conception of what human rights is. It's quite narrow and applies to only certain sorts of people. Only certain sorts of people get to have human rights. Right. So,
Yeah. Well, they're not humans, are they?
And more jokes, more hilarious, but a badinage from me there as ever.
The King of Bants. I really need to redo my jingle. He's a joker. He's a clown. That's heartening stuff. Could we end up with a situation where, kind of like we had with certain super injunctions in the past, people overseas could end up knowing more about what's going on in Britain than Britons?
Yeah. Very much so. And also the other thing about it is that the other mistake that Russ Bridger makes is to say, well, maybe the officials advising the Home Secretary haven't really read much of the history of journalism in Britain. And maybe this is just, a mistake she's making. And that's another category error. No, this is deliberate.
Right.
And they know exactly what they're doing. And the notion that it would be applied evenly, you've got to look at this government and never trust this government to act in good faith, because that's not what it does. In the same way that Boris Johnson never wrote as a columnist in good faith. So he says, oh, it's a menacing threat to free speech. He said, the Prime Minister is famously not a details man, but I suggest he asks an official to take a closer look at the menacing threat to free speech that Ms. Patel is proposing and stops them before these country jails start filling up with editors, sources, journalists who still care about the value of our free institutions. But that's another category error. The menacing threat to free speech isn't a bug, it's a feature. It's
right.
deliberate.
Okay,
it's to say to people that the government doesn't like The Guardian, like, say, Open Democracy or Disclosed or loads of different independent publishing outlets who do publish and push for freedom of information requests and call on whistleblowers and stuff like that, to say to them, you watch yourselves because we will do you if you do stuff we don't like. This is not intended to get at The Sun or The Telegraph or whatever, because you'll find, should they do anything that breaches this law, somehow prosecutions won't happen. It will, justice in the UK is very unevenly distributed, as we can see from the fact that News UK, while it's paid out millions in civil suits over phone hacking, very few criminal prosecutions ended up, going the distance.
Yeah, and this very much is about kind of locking down government business.
Yeah, exactly. Even though they have a tendency, when they want to leak something, of conveniently leaving piles of information at a bus stop and going, oh, someone must have just left that there.
Yeah. Oh, no. All that stuff
shocking
about
news that this thing that justifies our actions in, with regard to the Russian Navy or whatever, that those documents just happen to be left at a bus stop in Bromley. But, it's definitely not deliberate.
Definitely. I wonder how many MPs actually take buses. Be interesting.
I would say it's probably in single figures.
I saw Michael Heseltine on the tube once. It was really weird. It was like seeing a frog on your carpet. It just didn't look right.
he was at one time my ultimate boss when I worked for Haymarket Publishing.
Wow.
And there was a summer party once where there was a picture of me in front of a bounteous table of desserts, and myself and my colleague Tom Wiggins camped out there just picking away at these desserts. But it did mean we had to spend a good 40 minutes talking to Michael Heseltine.
Was it worth it?
And I was pretty hammered, so I was quite worried what I was going to say to him. But I got away with it. I mean,
you're not working there now.
You know,
I'll make that point. So who knows?
Yeah, in the long term, he played the long game. Yeah. He got
don't
rid of
do
me
it immediately.
End.
Just let him slip away. Brilliant. Well, we'll let you slip away now, Mick. Thank you so much for all of your acuity in that and some really good describing words, actually. Really good. Some of your best. Don't forget, it's broken.
You adverbs too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are. I don't know what those are. It doesn't matter. Brokenbottleboy.substack.com is the noun you want.
Yes, indeed. See you next week.
And
goodbye.
Are you doing your paper thing?
Yes, paper thing is at 1 p.m. today. If
1 p.m. on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/brokenbottleboy. Is that right?
Yes, indeed.
There you go. Do that as well. Mick, we'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, that was good, wasn't it? So here, sort of piecing back the shattered fragments of my life after Yapfest, it was amazing. We were all sort of bunkered in this house that I don't know if it's politic to describe too much of the house, but it was a curious house. That's all I'll say. And you know, I'll have to run it by the executive producer to say how much I can say. A lot of cake. I've got some great audio that I will share with you over the next few podcasts, stuff that me and Davey recorded. And it was live with an audience, which was really great. There was a slight kind of... I always find, you know, whenever I do any kind of performance in front of, you know, however big or small the audience, like in the flesh, it's always slightly kind of... you finish it. And you kind of go, okay, that was great. I got away with it. Now let's get out of here. Like, I just want to run. And it's not to do with, you know, the audience or anything. It's just a kind of like, okay, just quit while you're ahead. It's brilliant. But you know, everyone was there. So I fell asleep on the sofa instead, and everyone was very nice about it. This is sort of carried on the party around me, which is great. We played Werewolf and Barney. Barney was there. He got killed first in the first round, and then first in the second round, and then I think second in the third round. Poor old Barney. I'm sorry, Barney, mate. These things happen. It's not you. It might be you. Anyway, that's it from me for today. I'm gonna go and do some stuff with my kid. It's the holidays, after all. Might teach him describing words. I think he knows connective adverbials and fronted conurbations and I don't know. Poor sod. You take care of yourselves. If you want to get in touch, it's nottoday@swanburst.com. But I'll be back on Wednesday with some Yapfest audio for you. Lots of love. Take care. Bye-bye.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.